begin, Lord, bid you welcome, express appreciation. Again, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. This is good. Good to get together. Appreciate your attendance very, very much. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning. Kind of have brethren look around, make sure everyone has a bulletin that would like one, if you'd like to follow along. We're going to talk about loving right. Lovely in our lesson this morning. All of the points are taken from the problem, but there's a different situations or objects of our love, and you can look down the list. Obviously, number one, a priority, give God love first. That's the significance of God. Second, love thy neighbor. If you think about it, you don't know my neighbor. But I'll love my neighbor. Number three, wives, wake up your husbands for this one. Husbands, love your wives. And then number four, wives have to love their husbands. And then the last one is love one another. So let's take a look at each of these in turn. By way of introduction, get a definition. If we think about love, love is known from the action it prompts. You have to see love. It's not complacent. Love has been defined as charity, meaning we're going to do something for someone else. Means we're ready to serve. Service. I'm going to love. Demonstration. Love is described by definition in 1 Corinthians 13. There's about 15 characteristics or quality of love. Bible says in 1 John 4, verse 8, that God is love. And so the love is the actions of one seeking the best for another. If I'm going to say I love you, then I'm concerned about giving the best to you. It's love. And if I'm going to do that correctly or do it rightly, by right it means there's a straight path. There's a right way of loving. It means in accordance with a correct standard. It's not always just by my definition of yours. There is a standard for love. It means an upright way. In Psalm 119, verse 128, I didn't put that one in your notes. But Psalm 119, verse 128, says, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. If I'm going to love right, I'm going to love according to the Word of God. How God describes my love. If I'm going to do it right, it means my actions are determined or deemed correct by an uncorrupted source. By the Word of God. That true. So let's take a look at each of these in turn. Number one, Matthew, in our text, Matthew 23, beginning of verse 37. And what's that first and great commandment? In other words, what's the best I can be? Oh, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first and it's the greatest commandment. I'm going to love God. So now, again, if I'm going to love God, go back to the definition. I can't just say love. I can't just think love. I have to show it. Demonstrate my love for God. I can't just say, oh, God, I love you, but don't call on me for anything. Or, God, I love you, but if I ever need you, I'll call you. No, if I love God, I demonstrate my love for God. It's visible. Should be obvious that God is the object of my love. John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, that's the way love, what love looks like. So I'm going to love God in the text is with all my heart, all my desires, my affections. Colossians 3, verse 1 says, seek those things that are above. Set your affections on things above. So if I'm going to love God with my heart. Things above get priority. Now let that sink in. I don't say, God, I'm going to love you by my definition or the way I think you ought to receive my love. No, I'm going to give my love to you by your direction. That should change our life a little bit. With all my soul, with all my spiritual being, my heart thirsts for you. Yeah. With all my mind, I'm going to submit my thinking to God's thinking about what love looks like in my love for God. With all my strength, put some gusto into it. All my strength. So number one, I'm going to love right. I'm going to love God. With all my heart, soul, mind, and spirit. And then Jesus answered the lawyer a second way. Oh, but there's a second commandment. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. When Luke tells this story in Luke chapter 10, verse 29, says he, a lawyer, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, who's my neighbor? That's a good question. So Jesus said, I want you to love your neighbor. Who's my neighbor? How many houses down do I have to go? So Jesus tells a story in Luke chapter 10 of a Samaritan, described as a certain Samaritan. And he's the man that helped the man who fell among thieves. You remember the story. The priest and the Levite, they saw the man in trouble, but they walk on the earth, they passed by. Even though they were the first responders, they didn't respond. They just kept going. So Jesus tells about the Samaritan who did all the extra things, the demonstration of love, the care, the concern, the carrying him to a place, now pay for anything that he needs. Yep. So Jesus finishes the story. Turns to the lawyer. Says, so which of the three was neighbor to him? Ooh. That's a good story, Jesus. Oh, wait a minute, there's a message here. Which of the three was a neighbor? Well, the lawyer, he didn't want to admit that a Samaritan did it. So he just said, well, the one that showed mercy. That's right. The one that showed mercy. Oh, my neighbor. You know who our neighbors are? The ones we meet as we travel each day. Not just the one next to my house. It's the people I meet. The man was going, as he was traveling, sees someone in need and stops and renders aid. And Jesus used that story to say, now which one was neighborly? Oh, the certain Samaritan. Romans 13, verse 10 says, love works no ill toward his neighbor. And you fulfill the royal law. You love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to get to how you love yourself in just a moment. That's the illustration. So when we think about the right kind of love in our life, number one, I want to love God with all I have. And second, I want to love my neighbor. Sometimes I don't even know that neighbor that I'm rendering help to. Stranger. They need some help. Number three, here's where wives, you wake up your husband. Husbands, love your wives. Here's two illustrations. How should a husband love his wife? First illustration is in verse 25 of Ephesians chapter 5. As Christ loved the church. Well, part of it's in the text. We ask the question, well, how did Christ love the church? If I'm supposed to love Christine as Christ loved the church, what does that love look like? I'm supposed to give my wife the same as Christ loved the church. So I listed five characteristics in your notes. Number one, Christ loved the church sacrificially. Ephesians chapter 5, it says He gave Himself for it. Verse 25. Ephesians 5, 25. So husbands need to get ready to give ourselves up in this marriage relationship. So loving our wives is going to cost us something. Our time, our talent, treasure. It's going to have to call upon us to give up something. It says, how did Christ love the church? Well, sacrificially. Gave Himself for it. He loved the church neck and neck with a purpose. Verses 26 and 27, still in Ephesians chapter 5. He loved the church, gave Himself up for it, that He might sanctify it, present it to Himself, that it should be holy and without blemish. Husbands, you need to love your wife with a purpose. In general, I want to love Christine with a purpose of taking us both to heaven. Whatever that takes. And all that's involved in that. I want to love her and live with her in such a way that both of us go to heaven. Jesus loved us with a purpose. With a purpose. He loved us realistically. In Romans 5, verse 8, Paul said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, on this happiness road of marriage, there may be some speed bumps. Maybe a rut or a detour. But that's always going to be a perfect journey, is it? No. But neither of us will always do things, or say things correctly. But wait a minute, Jesus, how did you love us? Oh, realistically, that's right. We were sinners, and you loved us. We're not always perfect. We're never perfect. But the idea is we make mistakes. Jesus, you loved us. You're going to give your life for someone that doesn't always stay and do things correctly? Yeah, that's right. I'm going to give myself up for you. We as husbands need to love our wives that way. He loved us voluntarily. Philippians 2, verse 7 says He took the form of a servant. He chose to come to earth. Why? Why'd you give yourself up for us? So that I can sanctify you. It's in the text. Voluntarily. You and our vows typically begins with, I, Brian, take you, Christine, to be my lawful wedded wife. You're my choice. I choose you. Voluntarily. With the gun at my back. Her dad didn't have a shotgun. No. She's my choice. Still is. That should give me some points. Maybe lunch. Jesus loved the church voluntarily. Voluntarily. And then last, He loved it. Jesus, how did you love the church? I loved it absolutely. In Ephesians 1, verse 3, He blessed us with all spiritual blessings. In other words, Jesus didn't withhold anything needful for us. Everything spiritual, all spiritual blessings, we have access to. There's nothing lacking. So Jesus, how did you love the church? Because I want to know that, because that's the way I'm supposed to love my wife. He loved it sacrificially, purposefully, realistically, voluntarily, absolutely. And you've heard me use this illustration. Jesus, for you and for me. Everything. The illustration is He gave His head to a crown of thorns. He gave His cheeks to be slapped. He gave His face to dirty human spittle. He gave His shoulders to a robe of mockery. He gave His back to be scourged. He gave His thigh to a Roman spear. He gave His hands and His feet to the Roman nails. He gave His garment to
to the soldiers at the foot of the cross. He gave His mother to the beloved Apostle John. He gave His spirit back to God. He gave His life for you and for me. He gave everything He had. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. The second illustration for husbands loving their wives is in verse 28 of Ephesians chapter 5. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. There's two illustrations for that one. How do you love your own body? The text answers it in verse 29. Ephesians 5, verse 29. No man ever hated his own flesh. I don't always like the things that I say and do, but I don't hate them. I still think, Brian, you're pretty good. You're okay. You're all right. I know you messed up a little bit, but you're a fine fellow. I don't hate my own flesh. I get discouraged once in a while or discredited, but you're good. Don't hate your own flesh. Husbands, don't hate your wife. Colossians 3 said, don't be bitter against them. Then the second illustration, verse 29 of Ephesians chapter 5. How do you love your wife as your own body? You nourish and cherish it. I want to give Christine the same care that I give myself. I see that my body gets enough rest. I see that it gets enough food. You know, I've been known to make special trips to the store because my body needed ice cream. Chips. Get up off the couch. Look at the sun. No, my body needs this. I'm going to make a special trip. Even if I have to still put my shoes on or whatever, I'm going. My body needs something. So does Christine. And then he said, men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. You haven't hated it. I don't hate my own flesh. Nourish and cherish it. Cherish my body. I don't intentionally inflict pain on my body. I don't want to do that, Christine. Husbands, love your wives. As Christ loved the church. Gave Himself for it. Love your wife and you love your own body. You don't hate your own body. You nourish and cherish it. So moving on. So husband, you can go back to sleep now. Well, number four in your notes. Now there's the opposite. In Titus chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Aged women. Teach the young women to. And the list of things is to love their husbands. To love in marriage. I love you. You love me. We're a happy family. Barney song. The action of love flows in both directions. It's the golden rule. Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men do to you, do to them. It's the law and the prophets. So how do we love each other? What do you need? How can I help you? Reciprocal love. The last one in number 5 in John chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. Not a new commandment, it's an old commandment. But what made it new was Jesus' example. He says, the new commandment is that you love one another. Here it is. As I have loved you. That's what made it new. So that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Right? Love. Love one another. See, the love for one another is our best. It demonstrates our love. It's a visual display of discipleship. The way we treat one another. By this, Jesus said, shall all men know that you're my disciples. They may not always believe our word. your verbal testimony. But they'll see and believe our actions. That's a disciple, I can tell. Haven't heard his sermon, but I see the way he treats others. Must be a disciple. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9, Paul said, "As touching brotherly love, you need not that I write to you." In other words, you should know this. This should be common with all of us. He says, "You don't need that I write to you. For you yourselves are taught of God to love one another." It should come almost naturally. You need help. Let me get that for you. Love one for our definition of love, that demonstration, show and tell. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 10, "And indeed you do love all the brethren throughout Macedonia. But we exhort you, brethren, to do so more and more." You see, even in our love relationships, you know, it's obvious that we love one another. But now he says, keep it up. And do more. Add a little more. Go, as the proverbial phrase, the second mile. Do more than what's expected to what you're already doing. 1 Peter 2, verse 17. It just says, love the brethren, fear God. That's right. I want to fear God if I don't put the right kind of love in my life, in all these relationships. I want to love God. Love my neighbor, those I come in contact with. I want to love my wife. Wives love their husbands. We love one another. That's the lesson of the day. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. It's an opportunity for you to love God by loving His words. And loving His words, start by hearing His words. And through that process, becoming a Christian or a child of God. I want to love you correctly, Father. I want to be able to call upon you as Father, not just God. I want to honor you as a child in the family. So there's a process that we hear about. We need to hear the good news that God so loved the world and gave His only begotten Son. Jesus, go everywhere, go to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. I want you to hear about the right kind of love, loving God first. And then believe it. Jesus Himself said in John 8, verse 24, "Except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins." I don't want to die in my sins. Jesus also said in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, "Except you repent, you'll also perish." I don't want to perish. I don't want to die in my sins. I don't want to perish. So I want to, Jesus, what word do you have for me? Number one, let me hear. And I want to believe what you're saying. You have the truth. And I want to turn my life around. I want to give you love the right way and demonstrate that. Then number four, I want to confess my faith that you're the Son of God. And then when that takes place, then I'm qualified to be baptized for remission of sins. Preach the gospel to the whole world, Jesus said, before He ascended back to the Father. His last words. "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." I need to hear that. I want salvation. From that point on, then we begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's stand and we'll sing this song, song of invitation, song of exhortation. If your life and your heart and your love life is not right with God, you have that opportunity this morning to make it right. Just simply, while we're singing this song, if you have a request or that's your, to let your desire be known, just come and have a seat beside me. And we'll...